Welcome, everybody, to our pre-council work session. I know Adam will join us shortly, and hopefully Chief Park can join us. Steve and Sally are excused tonight, and entertain a motion that we open our pre-council work session.
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. A couple things I'll just review on the later agenda. When we do open the public hearing, they will be given 5 minutes instead of the three, as in a council meeting, it's five for that. But it's not really designed as a discussion, so if they have some, give a little preliminary things to say, and so probably won't have you let you comment or respond to people. I think we'll wait until they're all done and then see if there's a way to answer everybody's concerns or questions. Other than that, agenda's pretty straightforward, pretty much about that, unless somebody has anything else on the later agenda.
Mayor?
All right, yeah.
I would just point out that the way the agenda's drafted, that this work session is your best time as a council to have additional discussion related to the budget. The public hearing, of course, will be the public's opportunity to share their thoughts, but it's not scheduled that there would be a lot of discussion
amongst this group
during the regular meeting. However, you will still have next week's pre-work session and regular meeting before the final adoption of the budget.
Thank you. All right, so let's go to three there. Discussion on the budget. One of the big things we need staff needs direction from is the doing a 3%, doing a 6%, something in the middle on the utility rates. Fred last night showed us some numbers and how things would go with that, with raising the road impact fee and some other options. So, don't all speak at once. Michael, what's your thoughts?
I was under impression we were going to go after last night's discussion, go back to the 6 and then look at the road improvement January-ish.
Well, that was definitely thrown out there, but I think really what I was looking for is I'd like to hear a vision of where we're headed and where we're going to be from 5 years from now. What are we going to do between now and the next 5 years? And I've outlined my vision. I'd like to hear some other visions because that's going to basically determine where I stand on things, what do we want to do and how are we going to get there. So last year, to give you an example, we've been talking about roads. We know deficit in roads. I can pull it out, and we decided we're going to do something about it because we had a vision of where we wanted to get to. That's somewhat incremental. That's why we partly had the discussion last night. There's lots of issues out there. I even talked to an individual today who has served at many different levels of government and at the state level and Weber County and at the city level. And it was interesting to hear his take on some of these different issues without even really giving an opinion. But so that's what I'd like to hear. I'd really like to hear that vision of what do you want to get done. And, well, for example, parks. Or is parks something that is way down the list? I've outlined where I think parks stand in my list of most importance, least importance. And so before I can really say much of anything else, I really need to hear from some other people.
Mayor?
Please.
I actually really love your outline on the parks and stuff. I did some pondering, praying last night about it, and I the the idea of a bond, I'd love to hear what the general public's thought process is on that, because I think that would be great. I'd love to see some of the parks get completed and not just, like, I think you brought it up last night about, you know, in 5 years being at phase one. So I'm all for it. I know what way I'm leaning. I'm leaning on the 6% and keeping it split, the 50-50, unless we're able to look at the road maintenance and increase that and then do all 6% to the parks. I'm not opposed to that either. So, but as far as where I stand right now, it's like, I'd like to see the 6% and still split it 50-50 between roads and parks until there is an adjustment made that we can commit all 6% to the parks and then I...
Or for the other to the parks.
And what was that?
Or if the other is popular, go that to the parks, you could spend more on that to the roads.
Yeah. I liked it, Brent. I thought your thoughts on it were perfect. So I would like to know more about a bond. I that's why I was joking about Ponder and Gray, and I went home and talked to my wife, because she's the boss at home. So and she got her concept on a bond, and Lincoln City just did a bond, their very first bond for Ellison East, purchased a big section of land to expand Ellison Park eastward, and that's what they've done to buy it and develop it and get it going so it can be used for the city.
So. Okay, so following up on that, in your ranking of things, where do parks stand? What is ahead of parks on your list?
I think parks are pretty high up there. I mean, I think public safety and our employees are very high up there. The roads, obviously, the roads are getting a lot better. If I judge the roads just based on my own neighborhood, I would say that they're terrible. I'm actually enjoying it's like a video game trying to get home. But I think they're doing it.
So water, sewer,
yeah.
Is that ahead of park?
I would say yes.
Okay. What's below parks? What's less important than parks to you? Or do you think people?
I don't know. At this time, that's probably where I'm standing, though. Like, as of right now, in priorities.
Okay, so, but building more buildings would be ahead of parks.
I guess depending on what the buildings and stuff. So if you're talking about commercial,
well, I'm talking about.
If you're talking about this building, I know your thoughts on this building. I wasn't here for this building.
Well, I know, but I really wasn't either. I mean, I was here in town, but...
Yeah.
You might have been in Roy. Were you here?
Well, I was teaching the South and all that, so...
Every day.
Okay, so... You would feel like if you told the resident the money that we are raising on your property tax, most of that is going to parks, and we're going to raise your utility rate 6% because of the franchise fee, we're going to put a good chunk of that, half of it, into parks, maybe 100% of the parks. You would feel that would be a good justification to residents to raise our utilities by 6% and to maintain our certified tax rate.
I have no problem. I like the concept, yes. I think the parks are important.
How important is it to you that money we put aside? So here's what I hear in the county, because the county went through triple taxation last year. And it probably cost the commissioner their job, okay? So, but who cares? Not, that's not the point. The point is opponent used to, as soon as I get in office, I'm going to, you know, make sure I take care of that. That's not really going to happen, is it? But,
I see a lot of people use platforms to get.
But one of the reasons that they gave is because of all of the responsibilities we have for public safety. According to some, they've been promised, we're going to give you big raises. We're going to do this truth of taxation. Now, some people are saying that never really happened. Now, I don't want to get into whether that did or not, because I haven't seen the numbers. All I know is what I've heard from others. So if we're sitting here from a year from now, and we look back over our budget, for example, we went through taxation last year, and the increase was even more than this year.
A lot more.
Because we haven't done it for a lot of years, and there's more of the story than just making that statement. So we went through that. And, we're going to put money here, we're going to put money here, money here. You could argue whether all of that really occurred. For example, parks were a big part of the discussion. Some of that money didn't transfer over to this year. It was just left kind of hanging, went back in the general fund, now we're rebuilding a new budget. And I can show you exactly where that was. We've had that discussion here. So here's what I want to guard against. That a year from now, we're back here, and we told the residents that we'd raised their taxes and their fees, and that we're going to put that into the parks, and we didn't. So that's why I've talked about the bond. Now, as far as what my opinion is we have to have a vision of where we want the city. And then we need to work towards that vision. That's why we do strategic planning, really. Okay, and I don't want to pull out the strategic plan right now. But we also did surveys, and I was going to call you Susan. Councilmember Stewart pointed out to me that one of the things that residents mentioned that was positive was parks. I can't remember the context of it, but maybe anyway. The point is that's, it's not my plan. I have a vision of where I want South Auburn 5 years from now. And I see a path by which we can do that. But I don't want to languish in tax increase after tax increase that doesn't end up doing what we said it would. And that's why the bond idea. Is it my preferred solution? Absolutely not. I'd rather we save and be frugal and make, but gosh, my experience in the last 7 years doesn't work that way. Could we just buy a pump straight up? We didn't, did we? We buy our 7 police cars and our snow plows, and did we just straight up, oh, here's the cash? No. And that isn't even as big as our park projects. That's what we spent this year on the lease program, that pennies compared to what we have facing us in parks. And that's the bottom line. So I appreciate you going along with me on that.
No, I see, and if I can just make sure I understand you, what you're wanting to see in with the 6% is that you want to see it actually go to where it's supposed to be going. You'd rather see it as a dedicated fund that can't be touched, right?
Which we did with that ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So, you know, I want to see a commitment to a vision. And I don't care if it doesn't have to be my vision. It needs to be our vision. That's what I want to really see, is a commitment to a vision. And then I'm more likely to support it. Otherwise, I'm not going to vote for it. well as somewhere else. That's my opinion.
Councilmember Stewart, your thoughts?
I think the parks are important. I wondered if when we had the master plan made, if we needed more guidelines. Like, we came up with this grand idea, but kind of the sky's the limit type of thing. But really, as a city, the sky is not the limit. We have a budget. We only have so much money. And we have so much willingness to spend for that. Yes, I think the parks are important. Yes, I think we need to spend to get them done in a timely manner. But I don't think we can just say, yeah, whatever we want, we can do this huge project. I think we need to moderate it.
Are you thinking Birch Creek Park specifically with that plan? Okay.
Specifically, yeah. But also Club Heights. You know, Club Heights, we don't have a master plan for. But I think that instead of sky's the limit, we need to go forward with, okay, this is our idea. We think, you know, 750,000 or 1.2 million or whatever, set a number and have it within that instead of just saying, you know, whatever we want to come up with that sounds awesome.
What are your thoughts on the increase to utilities?
I would rather not at least 6%. I would rather no increase, frankly. I understand that there's increase because of inflation. I would rather have it tied to that and not just, I know that we've run the numbers, I know that we've got this sustainability, and that it's the number that's in the sustainability, but I would rather have it, okay, inflation was 2% or 3% or whatever it was, and then even if we added 1% or something, it just, you know, it should be tied to inflation and not just some random number that we say, oh, 6 sounds good. I mean, I know it's not just some random number, because I know that you put it in so that the numbers end up working at the end, but it should be tied to inflation. I know Matt mentioned the municipal cost index. We want to tie it to that, but I think just it needs to be tied to some kind of concrete, not just.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hansen?
I think we should follow the council of our last night. His name escaped me.
Fred,
excuse me. I think we follow Fred's advice. We raise it to the 6%, and I am strongly opposed to bonding for parks.
Straight, do you have a number on utilities?
Did you say me?
Yeah. Well, I heard a 6, I heard a 6, I heard a 0. So
here's kind of the deal. I don't see a vision in that.
In the 6?
In essence, the idea that we're going to raise it 6% and we're not going to even consider bonding, because I don't know how we get there with the money. We could get to 0% with the utilities, but that would mean doing away with the franchise tax. It's only, in fact, it's less than a year old. It's less than a year old. We get 0%. We take that. If we do the whole 6%, it's almost $300,000. It's a new take on the money. So, you know, I'm willing to compromise, but that compromise means committing to a vision. And I think that the potential of a bond is the only way to do that.
Well, what about a sinking fund, like what you've talked about before? Where you earmark it and it goes into this account. I think that's I may not be using that correctly, but the idea where instead of...
Kind of like rules.
Instead of saying, okay, we're going to bond because we want to do it today, what if we say we're going to put $250,000 aside, and we're going to put $250,000 aside, $250,000 aside, you know, because we've got a growth of... We've got natural growth that's coming.
You're right.
And we don't know how much it is, but if that natural growth all went to parks or a certain percentage went to parks or something, so instead of needing to pay interest to somebody else for something that parks is not, I mean, parks are nice, but they're not essential. It's not clean water.
Correct.
It's not garbage service. It's not police or fire. So while parks are nice, they're a non-essential nice.
So I think that's the right approach right there. I think that would be, we restrict it. In other words, it goes in, it becomes restricted immediately, and goes into a sinking fund. Is that the right term?
I guess my opinion...
I like that. I like that a lot, because it puts a real commitment behind the money. And we can watch it very carefully. So I think that's a great in-between position. Not as drastic as what I was suggesting. Maybe we can get there.
I like the commitment. I like that. The only thing I don't like about having everything dedicated, every item is dedicated year after year, and it goes to a certain thing, and you can't touch it no matter what, because
that's a simple ordinance.
I know. But what I'm saying is, for instance, like my air conditioner keeps going out, and so now it went out today, and the repairman came out and said it's going to be $2,200 to $2,500 to repair it. So my wife says, okay, guess what? The money we saved for a vacation now is going to the air conditioner. I think I like being able to have the staff and our leaders be able to say, hey, you know what? We've had something come up, and this is where we're going to move the money to, because we have something else that came up that's more important.
See, actually, we always have that option. And if you look back in time, one of the things that I've argued in past years is that if we commit those types of monies into other things, it's hard to cut back on people's salary and wages, okay? That you can't really cut there. But if we put more in the capital outlay, like parks and other things like that, that gives us a great opportunity to have flexibility within our budget when something bad happens. When something bad happens, yeah, we have to adjust. But the flexibility should not be, we're not going to cut the lawns this year. No, that's not the flexibility you need. The flexibility you need is in things like park. And when something is restricted, it can become unrestricted. But by unrestricting it, you're saying, you know what? Something more important has come up. We have to get off this vision of the parks, because this is more important, this is more important, this is more important. Clean water is more important. Service is more important. So there's plenty of flexibility, but I like the idea that as far as a philosophy, this money is put aside. That also makes it to where, unless we specifically unrestrict it, it carries over year to year. For example, when we did the road bond, we took the bond money and we put it in there, but it took us several years, was it 2.5 years to spend it? We didn't spend it all the next day. We took the bonds, we committed our Prop 1 money to it, and that. So, you know, there can easily be, but we need to have enough so we can continue to go after the grant. Because especially when times get tough, if we can still go after those grants plus applications, because other cities haven't put the money aside to match the grants. And matching grants are more likely to get us free money than anything else. That's what part of this is about, and I think that's why Councilmember Stewart's idea is so good, because it keeps the fund going to where we put ourselves in the ultimate flexibility position to get grants and other types of monies, especially when things are tough. And the other thing, look what we're struggling with right now. We're struggling with construction costs. Working with roads, we got underneath the wire because we had the money, we got the bids out there, and we got better bids because of it. Is that correct, John?
Mm-hmm.
But now, next year's not going to be as good. Look what's happened to our sidewalk project.
Right.
When times are bad, that's when you build. And so, if we have this money set aside, we're working towards it, we have a dedicated savings plan, that money is there when we need it. To give another example, you gave your air conditioner. We put money aside, even though it's painful, I'd rather have the money I put aside in my HSA every month. I'd rather have that money. But as I put it aside, it becomes an instant savings, and when something bad happens with our health, the money's there. It's covered. So I don't know if that helps, but I'm leaning towards...
Let me ask a question, though. So you're talking about, well, we can, that money, even though it's restricted, can be used for other things. But does that mean that that has to come back to us as a council to unrestrict it?
Mm-hmm.
And see, that's what I guess I disagree with, is that I don't want to have to tell my wife that, hey, you have to come to me to be able to use this money elsewhere. I think allow the staff to be able to make some of those decisions without having to come to us and say, hey.
Okay, so here's how that, so Matt, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but basically this is how that works. Matt has a little bit of flexibility, but once it goes over a certain number, is it 10,000 now, or is it less?
5,000, I think.
5,000?
Yeah.
Did it used to be 10,000?
What's that?
Don't get ahead of yourself.
So
I can only sign up to $5,000.
So like,
and it has to be budgeted. I can't just
right
spend
but
it on
he
whatever.
Has,
yeah.
He gets some working room to move within our budget, right?
Right.
I mean, we set the priorities. We set the budget item. Now, if it's restricted, like, these monies wouldn't be as restricted as Class C money,
right?
Because Class C money is absolutely restricted within certain uses.
My question was simply if we do something like that where it is restricted, do they have to come back to us and say, we want to use this restricted money? And it sounds like yes, they would.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if it's restricted, it's not been allocated in the budget. But we can't spend non-allocated funds. So yes, we would be coming back and saying, hey, you guys restricted this money for this purpose over here. We're seeing a big need over here, and we would want that conversation.
Just put me in charge of it.
If there's no utility increase, what about the health of our utility funds then?
Well, if that's the question regarding, you know, I think the question is, you know, where are we going to go with this other stuff? And they all link together.
Mayor, can I speak?
But maybe what we can do is, if we're not willing to go to that, we lessen, we make less the amount in the franchise fee. So we make to where we make it to that, according to the graph, it still stays sustainable, but if we're not going to go to 6%, then we lessen by a percentage, just like the chart showed. And I'm just
throwing it out there.
I'm flexible in there, really. I'm flexible to what?
Because the franchise fee goes down, so does money to parks and roads.
Right, so
there's,
it's kind
of... So you talk about how much we love parks and roads, that's tied to the franchise. So just making sure we all understand.
So, Mayor, I just had a comment about... I think arguably... you guys have been more visionary than many communities. The fact that a year and a half ago, your priority, your vision was, we need to consider sustainability. We need to to take a hard look at what it costs us to deliver the services our residents want, need, and desire. And you spent a lot of time, a lot of effort, and a lot of money working with a very good consultant to help us take a look at that. And yes, the numbers were scary and they were staggering, but I would put
it, they were only scary and staggering because we were so far behind.
Yeah, there's
the numbers weren't scary, they were evidence
of our position.
Of our position.
Fair enough. So I think the vision, if that is continuing to be your vision, is to continue to say, let's get into those sustainability. To Susan's point, she makes a great point. The results of the sustainability, the number that spits out at the end, yeah, it is based on the need that we create within the sustainability model, right? How many projects do we need to do, John? How many, you know, what's the equipment replacement schedules in those funds? So, yes, we could go revisit those. And if you feel like that plan is too aggressive, then you have the ability to talk about that and say, okay, what if we don't fund this at 6% next year? John, what do we need to give up in our water? What gives, right? Or can we play with the capital improvement projects and kick some out? I would encourage you to not get away from working within those plans. It doesn't mean you're going to reach sustainability in the next 5-10 years, but you still get to see that, have that data in front of you, and you can have these conversations about, okay, if our vision for parks is we want $1 million more for parks, let's go build that into the sustainability model, and we can start having some real data to say, okay, here's some ways to get there. And you all get to play with those numbers and say, okay, we need to do this and we need to do that. So I would argue you're more visionary than most communities because of this sustainability effort that you've undertaken. I would be concerned if because of the realization of where we're at in comparison to being a fully sustainable community, that it scares us away from looking at that every year and hitting it head on and saying, well, what can we accomplish this year? You know, according to the model, you would be having more than just maintain your property tax rate. But what? The environment, the political will, it just says, hey, maybe we'll just be able to maintain our rate this year. Okay. Every year is going to be different, but you still have the model to plug that in. Whatever decision ultimately is made about your budget that you're working on next week, we'll take that and the results of that, if it's 6%, if it's 3%, and we'll update the model. And it'll refresh and give you a chance to say, okay, where are we now? But I think the sustainability thing is one of the best things you've done. It would be a shame to get away from that and walk away from it. I think we should keep that there. You can always tweak your vision. You can get into that plan and say, hey, parks is a priority. Roads has been. They still are. But we want to elevate parks if that's your opinion. Okay. Fred, let's tweak this plan. Let's talk about if parks become our priority, how do we get there? What do we do? So those are my comments. I appreciate everything that's been said, but as I'm sitting here, I'm thinking, man, you've paid to have the tools created for you. They're there. You have the ability to work within those tools and have whatever discussions you want to have and look at the 5 to 10 year impacts of the decisions that you may be making. Those are my only comments there.
Stunned silence, Matt. Someone wants to try to top that.
Just to point out right now within the budget, because I was looking at this today, you have, just talking about the enterprise funds and the utility rate increases, within the budget there's $1.1 million of water system projects. I don't know if any of that's carryover, John, but that's what's in the budget. So it's either new projects or some carryover projects.
It's all new.
You have $350,000 in sewer, $616,000 in storm.
Some of storm and some of sewer, both of them have a little bit of carryover.
And all of those also were utilizing, there's some utilization of impact fees in addition to those numbers. So you've got water of 124. So I guess when you talk about, well, if you don't go at 6%, actually I take this back because I think the budget, Brent, right now is 3%.
It is.
Okay. So I pulled those numbers off of the budget that will be before the public.
That's
for public hearing.
That's $148,000.
Yes.
Instead of
okay.
Can you say those numbers again?
So $1.1 million in water, $350,000 in sewer.
Projects.
Yeah.
Plant expenditures.
This is under, yeah, the capital projects within each of those funds, and then $616,000 in storm.
Does he, I guess, what's it under contingency, doesn't he?
Oh, you know what? That could be under capital projects. I could go look at my notes on where I pulled those from.
He's got the projects actually listed under contingency, 980 in each fund, so 51, okay. 52, 53. If you look at 980, it has the projects that are actually listed that Matt's going over.
Okay.
Because I think, and I know Steve ain't here to defend himself, what he typically does is we give him a list of projects, he puts it in the contingency, then once the budget's approved, he signs it a line item, so it'd be a specific 51, 40, 265, and then that'll be specific to, like Oakwood and Crestwood Waterline would be specific to that line item, so anything we do with that project would come out of there.
And if I'm in your shoes, again, I've always respect the fact that your position are very different than my position. It's easy to recommend stuff, right? And much harder to have to be the ones that have to make the final decisions on these things. But to the extent that the public or you have neighbors or friends who are concerned about what you're working on, again, you can talk about the sustainability model. These aren't arbitrary. Yes, we can tweak the model to Susan's point, and we generate that, but we're just not pulling 6% out of the air. We're saying no, based on this amount of money for capital outlay, for capital projects, for ongoing operations and maintenance, it suggests that to try and keep up with the sustainability or moving in a more sustainable way, 6% is what's recommended. So there is data behind all of this, and you can, with the help of staff, we could help you demonstrate that.
But that's a point that needs to be reemphasized. The 6% is let's pull 6% out of the air and see what we can do with it. What you've looked at is the projects and that the council and the staff have talked about. You plug that into the model, and when you do that, it means you have to have 6%. And that's a fundamentally important point. It's not a number you pull out of the air to see what you can do. It's what is the need, what have we decided, what is that going to cost? And that's getting lost in the conversation.
What are some other things you tell me, Matt, in the budget?
So,
yeah, Brent.
Can we go to the current budget? I had a question last night, and I want to fully vet this. So, we have four items of monies going to the Birch Creek Park, and I asked about a fifth last night, and I sent the picture to you.
Yep.
And that was $161,162, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I think part of that was split between Club Heights and Birch Creek.
Yes. That's the 148, I believe, Brent.
Well, that's utility franchise fee.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So we have the ramp grant, which is a $373.5.
Yep.
We have the $150, which was the grant that Sally worked on.
Uh-huh. Outdoor recreation grant, yep.
Okay. The $250,000 from fund balance, which we negotiated. and then the $148,322 in the utility franchise fee. There should also be over $100,000 in addition.
From general fund?
From the property tax increase. Did I not show that to you?
I remember it's something on the board, yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder if we plug that in the $250,000.
It's this one. Which is a separate, because we have the unanticipated growth of the property tax, if we go with truth in taxation on that 0.0029, $223,000, $28,000 for the homeless bill, $5,236 for the pump list somehow, $15,051 for traditional lease, and there was $13,000 left over after giving $161,192. It says Birch Creek, but I think...
It's Park. It says Park underneath, Birch Creek Park. Yeah.
It does say Birch Creek Park, but I think that Steve had mentioned that we got to put some money aside for the Club Heights Park. But nonetheless, if we add in that whole thing, we're close to $1.1 million dedicated to parks, which is phase one, right?
With the addition of Weber State's contributions for Club Heights, that you've indicated you'd like to see that used for Birch Creek, that's 300. But that's not in the budget now because that.
So that's for the Silver Park, right?
Right.
Yep. So here's my thought on that. I think that it gets serious consideration. This we owe about $520,000 on the two parks. That's what I saw last year, and I'm not sure when they're due because there's a $60,000 payment due over the next 10 years, right?
Yeah.
I say this puts us in a good starting position. We do this, and I want to see that $161,000 back here because that was what was presented, and that's what I was counting on. And I don't want to just increase the appropriated fund balance by $161,000 either. So, I think we take the money from the sale of the park. We add the money that we get from selling our fleet. We pay at the park. We own them free and clear. That's out of the way. There's $60,000 a year over the next 10 years. Now, I guess the only question would be is there an early payment penalty?
There's not. Matt and I met with Superintendent Stevens. We mentioned that, whether they would like us to pay that off with the sale of the property. I just tell you his opinion.
It's what I would like
I know.
To do.
It was interesting. His opinion was, we'd rather you get the park fixed and make it look nice on our old property and then just keep paying us that little bit each year. In his mind, that's what I said. We have this money here.
But
well, I think we'd do some of that. I'd like to see us use whatever it takes there to get Club Heights done quickly.
I'd be glad to. But
that's something we can talk about when it comes in.
I think there's just something about having something paid for. I mean, I can't wait to get that bond out of the way for the roads so we can get that money back into doing more roads right now. Looking forward to that day. And I'm looking forward to 2029, not that I'll be here, but when this building's paid off.
Mayor, could I just touch on,
please?
So within the budget, there is the donations line item. If you recall, the state law changed a few years ago that we just have to be certain that we specifically call out what donations are built into the budget. Otherwise, you can't make these donations during the year unless you've done this, or there's a study you have to do to prove the benefit to the public, right? So we just want to make sure tonight that that we state for the record that within the budget, there's the $500 to the Bonneville High, right, graduation party, and $3,600 for the Bonneville Communities of Care. Those are the only two donation items within your budget right now. So we just want to make sure that gets.
How much?
Unless you want to add the YCC.
$500.
Communities of Care.
$3,600.
Unless you want to add the YCC in there.
Can we have a 2-minute discussion on Communities of Care? I know that's kind of Sally's thing, and I wish she was here to explain it to us a little bit. They put on.
I go to the one of the meetings too.
The meetings.
Yeah, that's key.
Is it successful? Is it necessary?
Yeah,
I
do. I think their town hall meetings have been excellent. They brought in some experts on mainly drug and alcohol use. And,
it's improved.
Anti-smoking. It has improved for sure.
Initially,
now they're doing an opioid thing. Opioid. Kind of thing.
Who else contributes to its?
Washington Terrace, Riverdale, and Uinta.
And we all do $3,600.
That I don't know. It might be per capita.
No, I think it's on a per capita.
But I think there's grant money is associated with it too.
Oh yeah, this is funded by federal grants. So
yeah, there's
like $120,000 a year or something. And Weaver Human Services is a big contributor as well. So yeah, $3,600 is just.
Yeah, so the Morgan Weber Health Department's involved, all the mayors, the school district, the head representative last meeting, our hands and
school district.
Those.
Sorry, Mayor.
Yeah.
Talked over.
They run that SHARP survey that
yeah.
they check on drug use and attitudes. So I think it's worthwhile. Doug goes to a lot of the meetings too. We're all on some different committees and
yeah.
we got sponsored some opioid 5K
yeah,
for
there for a
wins.
Couple of years.
Yeah,
it took
a while for it to
get
going.
Perfect, but
no,
there for a couple of years, I had some real concerns with how it was being run, but it's improved. I mean, their firesides have been really good.
They
our firesides, we call them that.
They call them town hall meetings or something.
Town halls.
We can call them that.
Put that for a road show.
So Brent, I made a note too. I tried to look at that 161 today as well, and the only thing I couldn't specifically trace it like I could the others, and so I'll make a note to between now and next Tuesday to work with Steve on figuring
that's
that out.
That's a big point for me.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like you have direction, Mr. Dixon.
What's that?
Like you have direction. 6 o'clock in the chambers. We'll be there.
We'll be there. We're down right here.
So.
I don't. What direction do you have by way of finalizing the budget between now and next Tuesday then for staff? Is there a consensus or a direction from?
Well, I'm with the ideas presented by Mr. Stewart. Still flexible as far as the utility fees. I obviously want to see it less, not more. But can't have everything. So I think the direction, I think this is the direction I would like to see this go. So.
We had 2 for 6% and 2 for less than 6%. So I don't know what direction
that
gives you.
It's not necessarily that I'm for a certain percentage. I want to see how everything else works out as far as some of the commitments to, you know, parks and that. You know, how are we gonna solidify this? And I think the ideas, especially in regards to that, are very well presented by Stewart.
Still.
What?
Okay. You still don't know, do you?
Well, without direction to change what's in the current acting budget, we won't change the current acting budget. So.
So.
Cause that.
Can I take?
Yeah.
Two minutes on
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we got two.
Maybe I'll be quick, okay? When I came on the council, I saw the, we call it a wish list, or we call it a needs list or whatnot, from every department, and it came up to some $40 million or something. And I didn't sleep that night. How the heck are we going to do this? And I put together that presentation, if you remember, because that was me trying to wrap my head around how this budget process works. And our council said, you know, Adam, what you got to realize is that every city works in this fashion of band-aiding to the next year. How we're limping to the next year because we don't have ever enough to really run it how you would like to run it. So we go through this process where we say, okay, then let's bring in a study to tell us how we get these needs and wants taken care of. And I'm going to go back to how council describes it. He says these are stars, they're guides, they're roadmaps for us, right? They're not fixed numbers, but they're not plucked out of the air either. They are a roadmap to get the city from X, which was, we'll say, negative 40 million. Now we're not going to make up that negative 40 million in 5 years, but it's the process that we're going to get. I'm frustrated that we would throw that process away because it's hard. The analogy I'd use, if I wake up and I'm 55 years old and I haven't saved for retirement, I don't say crap because I have to start saving a lot now so I can retire when I'm 65. I'm not going to do any of it, right? 6% could be 9, could be 12, could be 15. We chose 6 because it was possible. But we were 55 years old looking to retire at some point. And that's why the numbers were shocking, because it came back showing the reality that we have clay pipes. We've got an ambulance that's 20 years old and we can't find parts for it. The fact that we found ourselves in that position was nobody's fault that was in the room, but it was neglectful on somebody's part to have gotten us there. And these stars, these guidelines, this map to get us there, it's frustrating to have worked so hard last year, and we did. We fought and we worked and we figured it out, to now throw it away because it's hard. And it's not fun, it's hard. That's what savings is. To hold a franchise fee hostage over a bond for parks is not fair. It's not right, it's not fair, and I don't like it. When you bond for a park, you're saying, I can't be patient, I can't wait, and I'm gonna bind all the future councils, just like we've been bound, because we can't be patient to get something done. It's the exact same principle of, we need to save enough to build it. We need to save enough to show ramp that we're interested in. But holding a franchise fee hostage over a bond is, in my opinion, not fair. It's not an honest approach to it. I think bonds reflect a lack of patience. Bonds are used when emergencies occur or when you have a plan. The only reason we have to bond for a pumpulence is because the last 20 years we didn't create a sinking fund for a pumpulence or some sort. The only reason we have to bond for fleet vehicles is because we didn't save for them before that point. Now, sometimes that's the reality, and you have to do it. But to plan to bond or to use it as a leveraging tool is an unfair approach, in my opinion. I feel strongly that although it hurts, although it is not political to say it, our city is in a financial distressful position, and it still is, and we're working our way out of that little by little, and unfortunately it falls upon our shoulders to come to that recognition that for a lot of years we operated month to month, year to year, and now that we're building that, we'll call it catching up on the retirement fund, to use the analogy, hurts. Going without some stuff, we're charging people money that's not fun, right? I mean, like our good mayor says, it's his mom too that has to pay it. We're not sitting here in a vacuum, but at the same time, it's sometimes the cost of getting yourself in a position to actually be able to run the city and not limp along with it. We've got to replace the clay at some point, or it's an emergency. We've got to replace the oakwood at some point. You know, these things are just are building up. So I'm strongly in favor of moving it to 6%, and I would be strongly in favor of finding a way to fund parks. I'm okay with earmarking it. I'm okay with a sinking fund. I'm okay with making it a dedicated highlight that the council is going to make a strong approach to make that a very important thing. But I'm not in favor of hostaging a franchise fee over a bond.
Okay.
Well, let me just say in regards to honesty, that in regards to that, Councilmember Hensley, perhaps you should have listened a little more carefully or been here on time today to understand why I brought that up. This is about a vision, how we're going to get there.
And just because you have a vision, it's not my vision, doesn't make my vision different or wrong.
Maybe you weren't here when you just basically agreed with what Councilmember Stewart said.
To say that I don't have a vision because it's different than your vision is not honest either.
Okay, I'm not prepping.
Anyway, the point is that I don't care how we get there. We need to have a vision and a plan to get there. And right now, I stand on the plan. We don't have to take a bond. Okay? I wanted this council to seriously consider how we were going to get where we were going to get. That's why I started with the idea of, what's your vision? Where do parks sit with you? I was just trying to fill things out yesterday and past weeks to get people thinking about where we're going to get. And I'm all for that. So I think the direction we have seems to be fairly clear in regards to sinking fund, earmark it. I think that seems to have support, and I think that's exactly what was expressed by myself as well.
Okay. Thank you. All right, it's time. Please be quick to the other room. Entertain a motion to end our work session.
So moved.
Thank you.
All in favor?
Aye.
Excellent.